Hello and welcome back to the CTV show. We are finally here. It is Super Bowl week yet again, and we've got a rematch as well with the Chiefs and the Eagles. Super, super excited for the game. We are going to preview everything. Kat, how's it going, man?
I'm doing great, Pac, other than the fact that I woke up this morning just like I was in another planet. My phone wasn't charged. It was on top of me. I don't even remember falling asleep. It was just a complete disaster, but on the bright side of things, it's Super Bowl week, and I couldn't be more excited for Sunday.
I was going to say, for Super Bowl week, you don't sound too prepared.
I wasn't prepared. You know what? It's a weird start to the week. Because as I get closer to Sunday, it's just like, okay, the Eagles could do it. And that's the worst case scenario for me. But we'll save that for later in the show.
Yes, we will preview the entire game. We'll give our picks later on. But we got some fun stuff to talk about first. Before we get into anything, though, we spent a week we were at the Senior Bowl last week. If you haven't listened to our episode talking about the six players that caught our attention there, go ahead and check it out. But we were in Mobile, Alabama. How was the whole experience? You're also rocking your Senior Bowl merch over here. I do see that. How was the whole experience in your eyes?
I mean, I thought it was pretty cool. We were like, the access that we had, the players were awesome. The people were great. The Senior Bowl does a really good job. I mean, that was the first time we were there experiencing it firsthand. And I'm not going to say we didn't know what to expect, but in a way we did. Like, you know what I mean? We were just going there just to see what it was all about type of thing. And it exceeded my expectations. I had a great week. I'm sure you could say the same thing. I mean, look, it was a really, really cool experience for two dudes in Canada to experience in southern Alabama. It was awesome.
It was really cool. Cool little city there in Mobile. It was nice. It was like, it wasn't too loud, but there also wasn't like nothing going on.
No, yeah, it was,
the downtown area was quite nice. It was cool to check out. We ran into a lot of people in the street. I was saying to you, I remember you were laughing about this, like, you don't see a lot of people out, and then like the people you do see are, I guess, like famous in NFL terms. Like, we're just walking down the street in Mobile at like midnight, and you see two people. One of them's Arthur Smith, and then I think we see like Tom Pelissero in the window eating dinner at a restaurant. It's like, what the heck is going on?
yeah, it was crazy.
And where are the actual people that live there? Exactly.
Yeah.
So it was a cool time.
We didn't meet any Mobile natives.
Yeah.
So that just goes to our hypothesis, where it's just like, okay, there's nobody that actually lives in Mobile, but everyone that comes here is just a famous NFL person.
Yes. There it is. But it was a great week. But let's get into some Super Bowl talk, because on last week's show, we said we're not going to talk anything about the Super Bowl today. We're going to save everything for next week. And I think where we have to start off before we get down into the actual game, we got to talk some prop bets, because it's one of my favorite things to look at every single year. The amount of different things you can bet on just blows my mind. And I'm sure you do what I do at my Super Bowl party. You get the prop sheet, and the reason they're fun is because if you know nothing about the NFL, you can still bet on a lot of these things, or you can at least compete.
You could actually win.
My
fiance doesn't watch any football, and back-to-back years, she won our prop sheet.
That's impressive
stuff. And I watched her fill it out in about 13 seconds.
Yeah, you just circle stuff, and then that's what I do. I circle whatever my heart's telling me, and then I pick the Chiefs at the end to win. All right, she's going for the three-peat. Chiefs are going for the three-peat. But I, our good friends over at PointsBet let us know some of the best props that you can take a look at. I've prepared a list of them over here. Halftime is always a big one. You got the number of songs that are performed. The line's at 10.5. Now, I'm not a big halftime show guy. That's usually when I eat food or go on Twitter and see what everyone's saying about the game. I don't really care for
Who's
it.
Who's performing?
Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, okay.
10.5 songs. I know they like mismatch them and they blend a lot of them together. But how long is this thing going to be if he's going to perform 10.5 songs? And the over's got some juice too. So I don't know about that one. Number of special guests is at 2.5. Again, seems like a lot. My favorite bet, though, we'll get into this one. The Gatorade color. Now, not only are the Chiefs going for a three-peat, purple is going for a three-peat. They're the favorites at plus 175. Yellow's at plus 200.
Purple's orange, been back-to-back?
Purple has been back-to-back, yes.
No way. Yeah. I did not know that.
And in the last 10 years, it's been the only color that the only two times in the last 10 years have been the last two for purple. The first time the Chiefs won, it was orange. Whenever Brady won, it was usually blue. They were a big blue team. But yeah, purple is going for a three-peat. And I think when the Eagles won last time, it was yellow. So that's why you kind of have those as your first two. And then these ones just get really weird. You can bet on Kelce winning the MVP and singing a Taylor Swift song lyric. That's plus 2,200. And the only reason I think it's that high is because Mahomes will probably win the MVP. I don't put it past Kelce at all. He's been singing a new weird song lyric every single time. I remember last year he did the whole Viva Las Vegas thing.
And then the one before that, he did the You Gotta Fight.
Yeah, he's done that a couple times. Yeah. And then this past week, he did the do a little dance, make a little love. Starts. I don't know who's asking him to do these things, but it's just getting really weird. Honestly, I love Travis Kelce, but let's just tone it down a little bit on the podium. I definitely think he'll do something strange. I just don't think he'll win Super Bowl MVP. That's why I'm probably not touching that one. He's only plus 1,200 to propose to Taylor Swift if they win, which to me is crazy. Don't think there's enough juice on that one at all.
No.
And then last but not least, my favorite bet, and I feel like this is very unique and can likely only be found on PointsBet Canada. They're calling this You Only Live Wentz, and it's for Carson Wentz anytime touchdown.
No
it's
way.
Plus 4,000.
What is Carson Wentz to win Super Bowl MVP?
If you're going to bet this, you might as well just bet him to win Super Bowl MVP, because if he's going to score a touchdown, he's probably getting thrusted into the game somehow.
Yeah.
He finally may have his Nick Foles moment. So that's my favorite one. You Only Live Wentz. Of course, I love the Gatorade color. I think the Taylor Swift stuff with the props, not much action on it. I'm not touching it personally, but I wouldn't put it past Travis Kelce to do some weird stuff. But Gatorade color and You Only Live Wentz for me, that's what I'm keying in on ahead of kickoff.
What's the, is there not clear, it's like the white Gatorade? Is that on there or
they
no?
They have water or clear at plus 1,000.
I guess that's
the lowest odds.
Is that factor, is that the one that I'm talking about? You know, like the
Well, they have
the
a white, ice, have ice a, yeah, flavor? Glacier ice.
Glacier
but,
ice.
But they don't have that list. Unless that is considered clear, I always thought that was white. But they have a category for water or clear, and that's plus 1,000. So I don't know.
So purple's the favorite. You know what? I had no idea that purple was back-to-back.
I didn't either until I watched a video this morning on the last 10 Gatorade colors.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And the number of special guests, I guess they're assuming that he's going to bring out special guests.
There's already one that's coming. I think it's SZA. I think she's performing.
I have no idea who that is.
You don't even know who that is. No. I couldn't tell you a song, but I know the name for sure.
I don't know who that is. I know who Kendrick Lamar is, obviously, but I have no idea who SZA is.
But 2.5 is crazy. That means there's like two extra people. Like, how long is this thing going to be? The Super Bowl, I always say it every year, it does not feel like a real game of football. One, we just went from, and I know we had this debate a couple weeks ago, we just went from watching all these like outdoor bloodbaths in the cold. Now it's this like, with great atmospheres, by the way, now we're in this like sheltered dome where all they're doing is showing celebrities on TV.
The atmosphere
sucks. It's all corporate. It's $10,000 a seat. The commercials are 7 times longer than they normally are because they got to make a ton of money on this. And then the halftime show is 45 minutes long. So it never really feels like a real game. I think the gap with the Pro Bowl week as well, I'm not saying it loses some momentum, but it just feels like such a big spectacle. Whereas you watch championship weekend, it just feels like football. So Super Bowl to me, I wouldn't say it's the best game of the season, but obviously I'm still super, super excited to watch everything goes down. But there it is, our best bets or our best props, courtesy of our friends over at PointsBet Canada. And once again, you can check them out and use code BLITZ when you're signing up. And like we've been saying all year, our picks are on there all year long. Our parlays, our Cats Cover 5, you can tail those on there. You're researching something over here.
The get-in price right now, thanks to our friends at TickPick, for a pair of 2 tickets in section 625, row 17, seats 19 and 20, which is... Maybe your heads might be hitting the ceiling. You might be hitting the roof.
Pay $20 a month and subscribe to the all 22 footage if that's where you want to watch the game.
$8,929.80 for the cheapest ticket for a pair for Super Bowl, it's honestly, I'm at a loss for words, clearly, because I always thought, you know what I mean? It's expensive, don't get me wrong, but who's buying that?
So I was going to ask you, would you, if the Cowboys were in the Super Bowl, would you pay that money to go?
No, I would go to Dallas.
Yeah, I would pay a decent amount of money to watch an AFC championship game.
Sure.
If it was in Miami or if Miami was even playing. I feel like there's value in that. To me, I don't know if I could pay that. And I would just rather watch the game at home at that point.
Yeah, I think so too.
Or I would rather just bet like half that money on my team to win. And be like, hey, if they win, I get a nice prize. If not, there you go.
If you want to sit section 114, the cheapest ticket, which for those that aren't, obviously don't know seat maps on top of your head, unless you're one of those crazy guys on TikTok that are able to tell you where you are in the world in 2 seconds. But section 114C is basically dead center 50-yard line. The cheapest seat for the pair, you're looking at, what is that, $29,961. Like, you're going to have to go to, I'm going to have to take out another mortgage if I wanted to go there. But I won't have to worry. We won't have to worry because the Cowboys and the Dolphins won't ever be in this position.
Probably
so
not.
We can take our $30,000 and invest it.
We can take something else. All hypotheticals on
right?
the show. Oh,
so yeah. We don't have to worry about Super Bowl ticket prices because we won't ever have to worry about that. Because our teams, unfortunately, or fortunately, depends which way you look at it. Because I would love to save $30,000.
Well, I would also love to watch my team win a Super Bowl at some point in my life. Or just a playoff game would be nice. Anyways, speaking of the Super Bowl, you have prepared a list of your top 10 players playing in the game. Let's hear that. 10-1. The best players playing in the Super Bowl.
So at number 10, I'm going to start with Creed Humphrey, the center. Okay. I mean, look, it's a boring pick. Probably people are going to be like, who's Creed Humphrey? I'm sure a lot of people will say who Creed Humphrey is. Not our followers, obviously, because our followers are very educated. But a lot of people that watch the Super Bowl every year probably have no idea who Creed Humphrey is. He's a baller. He's a pro. Like, you know what I mean? You can't really say anything bad about Creed Humphrey. So have him at number 10. Number 9, I got another Chiefs offensive lineman who seems to be playing a different position every single year. And that's Joe Tooney. Absolutely incredible. Just I saw a stat. I think it was he could win his third Super Bowl at a third different position, which I thought was honestly crazy.
He's also, if he wins, I don't want to get the stat wrong. I don't know if it's 6 or 5 for him because he won a bunch in New England.
Oh, yeah, with New England. So maybe it's 5. Maybe it's 5 at 5 different positions. I genuinely think that that's what the stat was. We'll look it up after the fact, but regardless, incredible, incredible career that he's had in both New England and Kansas City. And now I go number 8. I go Jordan Mailata. I think this may come at a surprise, but he was a remarkable just all year this year. I thought he was snubbed from the All-Pro list. I thought he was just probably the best tackle in football this year, bar none, maybe top 2, top 3. Having a remarkable, remarkable year. And he, again, we're talking, when you talk Philly outside of Saquon, you talk about this offensive line, and he plays a huge, huge part of it. I go to 7, I go Travis Kelce. Look, to Kelce's standards, this regular season was just below par, but everyone knows what he does in the playoffs, and he's doing it once again. He just won't go away. And Travis Kelce, again, comes in at number 7. He could be a little bit too low here, but I think this is pretty fair because, again, this is a pretty star-studded Super Bowl. At number 6, I got Lane Johnson. Again, just somebody that's been doing it for so, so long. One of those guys where it's just like, okay, he could retire tomorrow or Monday, but at the same time, you could see him playing another 2-3 years. I think we've been saying that for about, 5 years now? So Lane Johnson comes in at 6. A.J. Brown comes in at number 5. You know, he's a great reader, but he's also pretty good at football too. So give me him at number 5. Number 4, Jalen Carter. I still can't believe that he was available for the Eagles thanks to the New Orleans Saints for trading for Trevor Penning or whoever they traded the year before. But
that's how they got that pick?
Yeah, that's how they got the pick from the Saints. Yeah.
No, I didn't know that. I thought that was just their pick.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make sense because it was like, what, 11th overall?
No, yeah. And they got, I think they had Nolan, I think it took Nolan Smith.
They
ended up
Nolan Smith like 30th or whatever their second pick was. Yeah, wow.
Number 3, I got Chris Jones. Again, say what you want about him, but he's absolutely just a force.
If there's going to be good in like the biggest moments too.
And that's why we'll get into it later in the show. But I think if there's a team that's going to stop Saquon, and I put it in quotations just because it's such a tall task and it seems like it's been impossible, it could be Chris Jones because he's just a force down the middle. And speak of the devil, number two, Saquon Barkley, absolutely remarkable season. No running back has won Super Bowl MVP since 1998, I believe the stat was.
Terrell Davis.
Saquon could definitely do that come Sunday. He's having a fantastic, fantastic season. But nobody's better than number one, Patrick Mahomes. The future, the present, the one of the greatest quarterbacks that we will ever get to watch going for the three-peat. If it wasn't for Tom Brady, this would be getting out of hand. He'd have, what, five? Maybe,
potentially. Never mind Tom Brady. If it wasn't for D4 lining up offside, I want to point that out first because the Chiefs would have won that Super Bowl. But anyways.
Unbelievable. Patrick Mahomes at one. Obviously, I think that goes without saying. I probably could have started one, and then I could have went 9-10-8 and then just ended at two because everybody knows who the best player in the Super Bowl is, and that is Patrick Mahomes.
I think it's a solid list. It's crazy the amount of players. Like, everyone, if you want to point out a snub, you got to say who doesn't belong to be on there. And no one you named, I'm like, oh, he doesn't belong to be on there. But then there's also guys like Trent McDuffie, who I just think are such good players. He's also never lost a playoff game in his career.
That's crazy.
That means he's won the Super Bowl all 3 years of his career, which is crazy. Also, I think looking at this list, everyone talks about, I think the narrative going into this game is, the Eagles have the way better team, and, you know, it's just the Eagles, but the Chiefs have Mahomes, and I really don't think that is true. I do think the Eagles have a loaded roster, but I also think the Chiefs' defense is often discounted. I think the Chiefs' offensive line is often discounted. You mentioned Joe Thuney and Creed Humphrey are two of the best players playing in this game, and the Chiefs' offensive line has been very solid for many years now. And I do think the Chiefs are a little bit more balanced than we give them credit for. But there's also a ton of players on the Eagles' defense that I think could have made that list. Like Zach Bond was an All-Pro this year. You got guys like Josh Sweat who are very good players. Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean. I know they're rookies, but they're so, so impactful this year. So I think, surprise, surprise, there's just so many good players playing in this game. And that's why it is going to be a great one. But we talk about how many great players there are playing. The one conversation I want to have is which player has the most to gain from winning the Super Bowl? A name you did not mention in your top 10 list, which again is someone I think could have been on there, not surprised at all that you left him off, is Jalen Hurts. Is Jalen Hurts a player that has more to gain than anyone if they win the Super Bowl, or do you think it's someone else?
Honestly, sure, if Jalen Hurts wins the Super Bowl, that looks great on his resume down the line. But I think everybody knows what Jalen Hurts is at this point. And it's not like he's going to win the Super Bowl and everyone's going to be like, oh, he's this top three quarterback or top five quarterback. I don't think it changes people's perception of Jalen Hurts, at least not mine. But look, it's the cop-out answer. I genuinely think the person with the most to gain is Patrick Mahomes. Like, if Mahomes wins this and goes for the three-peat, the first time it's ever been done in NFL history, I hate it. I hate it, and I criticize myself. I look like such a hypocrite because I said it last year. I said I'm not going to compare him to Brady until their careers are done. But how don't you at least just start a conversation? Say, like, look, right? Mahomes is what, 28? Yeah. 28 years old, and he would have, hypothetically speaking, five or four.
And the graphic that everyone loves to talk about, it's like their first seven seasons because they are so similar because Brady won those first three so early. Mahomes blows him out in all the stat metrics. I don't really put too much weight into that because Brady's game developed so much and the game changed so much and his actual best passing numbers came later in his career. And Mahomes has actually tailed off in the stat categories, but he's learned how to win. And that's why we see the comparison because no one else has given me that Patriots-like feel. And by the way, everyone on Twitter, Instagram, social media has amnesia of what it was like to watch the Patriots win. Everyone's acting like this Chiefs dynasty is the worst thing in the world. Like, do you not remember when the Patriots just not only won, they blew everyone out year after year. It wasn't even they would win AFC championships by 30 points. At least the Chiefs give us good games over here. I don't know where I was going with this.
No, it's true, though. And honestly, they do. It's like people act like the sky's falling. It's like, oh, they're even with... Honestly, even this crap about the refs...
The Patriots had it the exact same way.
It's the
way.
Same thing. It's the
good
same thing.
Good teams get... they need fortunate bounces. They're also good, and they put the other team in positions to draw penalties and hold and grab them down the field. Like, these are things that just happen. And yesterday, I was putting together a post for Catch Blitz Instagram, just essentially recapping the last 10 years of the Super Bowl and going through it and being like, oh, Patriots won this year. Oh, Patriots won this year. Oh, yeah, Brady won again this year. You really start to remember the feeling that you had that time. And it was the exact same. It was like, yeah, the Patriots are going to win again. The Patriots are going to win again. They're here every single year. And that's what the Chiefs are doing right now. And that's where the comparison comes to play, because not only does he have the talent, but he's also starting to build the accolades at such a young age, at only 28, that Tom Brady has. Like, look at legendary quarterbacks in our lifetime. Aaron Rodgers got to one Super Bowl. That's it. And we talk about him like he was the most talented player ever. It is so hard to get to one, and then get to two, and then get to three. And players like Mahomes and Brady are just making it look easy. And sure, they have great coaches and supporting casts around them, but it's so rare that not only we see one of these in our lifetime, but two, and the fact that they're essentially back-to-back, and Brady just passed that torch right to Mahomes. I do agree with you. I think he does have the most to gain. I wouldn't say he has the most to lose. A lot of people would talk about Saquon Barkley having the most to gain. I just don't think when we have these conversations about legendary running backs, the whole ring argument carries a lot of weight. I think Saquon, regardless, is going to be remembered as one of the best running backs of this generation. I think this season will go down as one of the best running back seasons ever. He can actually set the record for most yards in a total season.
Who has it right now?
I feel like it's John Riggins, but I could be completely wrong over there.
Well, I mean, it makes sense, right? He would have 2,000 in the regular season, a whole bunch of this playoffs. Like you said, I don't think the Super Bowl debate or the championship pedigree or the thing on your resume that factors the least when it comes to running backs is the Super Bowl. Sure, it's nice, but it's funny how it changes from position to position. It's like, oh, okay, Super Bowl doesn't matter for a running back, but if a quarterback wins it, like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's all praises go to the quarterback, yeah. But whatever. That's just the way the sport is. I will say, though, that I think I threw this out here, and I know yesterday I kind of had to backtrack it a bit because Kelsey came out and said, oh, the question on Media Day was like, where do you see yourself in 3 years? And he's like, playing football again. This is what I like to do. Blah, 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 blah.
3 years?
3 years. That's what the question was. Man. But I was thinking to myself.
Maybe playing with his kids in the backyard, the 3 years football.
Yeah, right? Maybe that's the football he meant. Yeah, maybe
3 years, man. Like, yeah. Who knows? Maybe he could still be doing it.
Right?
I feel like in 3 years he'll be on the Titans.
Yeah. Nah, if he's going to play the Titans, he's going to retire. There's nobody playing anywhere else. But I have a weird feeling that one of Kelsey or Andy Reid, if they three-peat, and honestly, Andy Reid has a ton to gain from this too. Like, he's already up there, but like, you could make the argument that he's probably one of the greatest. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If he were to 3-peat too, like, he's got a lot to gain too. I know he doesn't really classify as a player, but I would throw that out there. I think we could see one of those two calling it quits if they were to go for the 3-peat.
One thing with Andy Reid, there was one speculation already that he was going to retire going into the last two Super Bowls, and they won, and he said, no, we're doing it again, we're doing it again, we're doing it again. Now there's finally that historic element of a repeat, and if he wins this, it's like, okay, do we just go for four? Or like, what more do I really have to gain here from sticking it out another year? Where this interests me is like someone like Steve Spagnuolo has received absolutely zero head coaching interest from other teams. And I know he's had his chance before and it didn't necessarily work out. But it just kind of surprises me that like no one's talked about him being a head coach elsewhere, and maybe there's this worked in agreement. Like we saw in New England where everyone knew Gerard Mayo was taking over once Belichick called it quits. That was an internal decision that was already decided going into Belichick's last season. Maybe they have something in place, some contingency plan where they are prepared and they're not going to be caught off guard, where if they win, Andy Reid says, this is it for me, I'm retiring, and either Steve Spagnuolo is going to take over or someone like Matt Nagy, he's been head coach before, he's the offense coordinator right now. Is their offense historically great? No, not really. It's been better before in KC. But regardless, I could see that happening. Like, maybe that describes why Spags just hasn't seemed interested in becoming a head coach elsewhere, or maybe he's just not getting these looks. I don't understand
how. I just don't think he wants. It's like he's 66. It's like, why go be a.
How old is Steve Spagnuolo?
66.
He's the same age as Andy Reid.
Same age as Andy Reid. Andy Reid's born in 1958, 60 years old. Steve Spagnuolo is 65. So he's a year younger.
I would have guessed they're like 10 years apart.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's old. Like,
Andy Reid feels older than 66.
No disrespect. But
he also looks pretty good for his age. 65. He
does. Like, 65 years old.
He looks like he's in his
50s. At that point, he's been coaching. He started coaching, obviously, not in the NFL, but 1981. Like, we weren't even a thought, Pac, in 1981. You know what I mean? So the guy's been around. His first job in the NFL was, ironically, with the Philadelphia Eagles in 1999. Went Eagles, yeah, and Giants. He was a head coach. I remember he was a head coach in St. Louis. And surprisingly,
yeah, I don't even remember that.
That was his only head coaching gig. 2009, 2010, 2011.
I thought he was a head coach elsewhere. I don't know.
No, he was an interim head coach with New York, with the Giants in 2017.
That's why I remember that.
Yes.
That's when they fired Ben McAdoo, yes, probably. Yeah,
yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. I think it's definitely an interesting debate. It's an interesting thing to speculate on.
I'm sure we'll be speculating a whole lot if KC does end up pulling off the three-peat. Because that's sort of when the speculations kick in. Yeah. Like, they happened the same. Even last year, there was all this speculation about Andy Reid. Oh, he did the back-to-back. Is he calling it quits now? And I think this, like, went on for, like, 3 months. Even though he said, like, oh, I'm coaching again. But we'll see. I mean, who doesn't have a lot to gain? I don't think there's a single person that you could just, like, say, oh, doesn't matter. This win doesn't matter for
you know what person, I think has a lot to gain? We're just talking about head coaches. I have this theory with head coaches that people's complete opinion on them is essentially just how they present themselves in the media. Perfect example is like Liam Cohen. He goes out and he does that stupid, silly Duval thing. Now everyone's like out on this guy. Jonathan Gannon was another one. And it's like we judge them on almost personality before we even factor in their results. And then even if we don't like their personality, we tend to credit their results to other people. Prime candidate is like Nick Sirianni. And I know you've had a random be like, what does this guy do? Because you got Vic Fangio calling the defense, you got Kellen Moore running the offense, and now it's just like, oh, he's just must be this like raw, raw motivator. And everyone talks about like Dan Campbell in that aspect, but people love Dan Campbell because the reality is nobody actually knows what's going on in these facilities or in the locker room or what these coaches are doing for 8+ hours every single day. And I think Nick Sirianni has kind of been painted with this brush that's been a little unfair because he's cocky, he's arrogant, and he's just downright unlikable to the general public. But if you look at his body of work with what he's done in Philadelphia, it has been incredibly, incredibly successful. And I know he's been gifted. What do the Eagles do? Hit on 8 draft picks every year? Like, he's got an incredible roster, but he's also developed a lot of young talent. And I feel like if Nick Sirianni now wins a Super Bowl, his first 4 years with an organization are kind of just up there with some of the best years a head coach has had to start a career as a first-time coach. Like, it's kind of like Sean McVay-esque. And I feel like he's not going to get that credit.
I mean, look, I don't think he deserves the credit that Sean McVay does because Sean McVay calls the offense.
But why
like,
do we love Sean McVay? Because he's quirky. He's
no, because labeled he runs a great offense.
Brilliant young mind. He goes into his press conferences and he rattles off plays from 8 years ago and everyone's like, oh, wow, offensive genius. Head coach, again, this plays into my whole theory, 80% of the public's opinion on a head coach comes from their press conferences.
And it's also very wrong. Like, the 80%, like, if you, I know, obviously, you're talking grand scheme of things, but, like, the public opinion hated the Dan Campbell hire. They hated the Knicks, like, even the Nick Sirianni hire.
They hated the Dan Campbell hire because they thought he was underqualified.
No, and because of his...
But then, after the introduction press conference, they loved that.
Yeah.
And then they were like, okay, maybe this isn't going to work, but we love how rah-rah, hype you up, run through a brick wall is. And then the Lions had that identity, and they were like, genius.
Yeah, which, it's true.
Credit
it's
to
true.
Him. Like, Dan Campbell's done a phenomenal job, but he's just labeled as, like, culture builder because he has exciting press conferences, and he talks about biting people's kneecaps off. And it's just like, if Liam Cohen, if the Jags start 0-4... this year, he's done. He's toast.
He's done.
Because
he
didn't go into the press conference firing up the organization, and he said Duval in a really weird way. It's just like that's what we've come down to with, like, head coaches at this point.
Yeah, but you're not wrong. You're not wrong. But at the same time, I still don't know what Nick Sirianni does. I still don't know.
Not to say that I'm the biggest fan of the guy either. I just, that's kind of this, like, thing I've noticed with coaches and how we talk about them in the NFL. All right, let's actually get into what everyone's been waiting for, previewing the actual Super Bowl. Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans this Sunday. Chiefs going for history for the three-peat. Eagles trying to stop them, trying to exact revenge on them for their loss 2 years ago. Who is going to win this game?
I'm taking the Eagles, Pac.
No way.
Yeah.
That is such a, like, you've been since the beginning thinking the Chiefs are going to win. I've been saying since the beginning of the season the Chiefs are winning the Super Bowl. I'm not switching from that now. Would I lie to you and say that I'm not scared and don't think that the Eagles are a really good team? Of course not. But the fact that you're coming in here, showing up and picking the Eagles after being on the Chiefs bandwagon forever is just inexcusable.
Yeah, it is. Look, I was kept looking for reasons against the Eagles win this game. And the only reason I could come up with was Patrick Mahomes. Sure. Can Patrick Mahomes go do it? 1,000%. But it kills me to say this is the most complete team. This is the best team. This might be the best team that Mahomes has faced in a Super Bowl in his career so far.
You think they're better than they were 2 years ago?
Way better. Just
because of Saquon? Because they didn't have...
I think as a team, they're just better.
Two years ago, they dominated that regular season. And maybe this year, because they started 2-2, and they had those early season headlines about disconnecting the organization with Hurts and Sirianni. And last year, they were so bad to end the season. Maybe people weren't as high on them all year. But... I don't, even San, you think they're better than San Fran last year?
Yeah, I do. I think they're. This is the best team that I've seen in a very long time. Both sides, from offensive line, weapons, running back. I don't like the quarterback, but the quarterback is a factor of this team. He doesn't turn the ball over, right? He does his job, but the defense is so, so good. Like, sure, when you draft Georgia, for whatever reason, people were criticizing Howie Roseman for drafting all these Georgia players. Like, oh, think outside the box. Go take small school. It's like, why? When I could just take SEC champions, national champions, day after day after day after day, and everyone's shocked now when this defense is incredible. Like, no kidding. Like, you know what I mean? Look who they have, and right?
He went small school with Quinyon Mitchell, a little Toledo action.
Yeah, he did. There you go. He did, and he's been fantastic. Look, I would love to be wrong. There is nothing more that I would rather be than come here Monday morning with a smile on my face, knowing that the Philadelphia Eagles lost once again in the Super Bowl. I just don't see it happening. I don't. And again, I would love to be wrong, but I'm going to pass it over to you, and you're going to, because I know who you're picking. So yes, tell me why I'm wrong.
I think everyone knows who I'm picking, and this, like, I'm not discrediting the fact that they have a loaded roster and that they're very good. I said earlier, I think we are discounting how good this Chiefs team is. O-line, D-line, their linebackers seem to always step up. I think the secondary is really underrated. Trent McDuffie, Justin Reed, they're going to make it difficult for Philly. I don't think the Chiefs are going to start as slow in this game as they have in every single Super Bowl they've been in, their win against San Fran started slow. Their blowout loss to the Bucks started slow. Their last two wins versus Philly and the 49ers, they were heavy underdogs at halftime. And I capitalized very nicely on betting them to win because that's what Patrick Mahomes does. He is always in the game. I don't think it's going to be that case this time. I don't think it's going to take some miraculous second half comeback to steer them to victory. I think this game is going to be back and forth throughout. It's going to be very, very tight. Maybe the Chiefs have some early success stifling the run and slowing down Saquon. Maybe they give a couple plays in other aspects to A.J. Brown or to Devontae Smith because the Eagles have so many big play players. One thing I've always argued, the Chiefs aren't a defense that give up big plays, which I do think helps them in this one. The main reason why I think the Chiefs are going to win, though, because like I said, I think this is going to be a close game. And with 2 minutes left, if the Chiefs need 3 points, if the Chiefs need 7 points, if they need 8 points, I trust Patrick Mahomes to get it done. With 2 minutes left, if the Eagles need 3 points, if the Eagles need 7 points, if the Eagles need 8 points, I trust Steve Spagnuolo and the Chiefs' defense to be the reason why Jalen Hurts does not get those points. We saw it, you know, giving the ball back to Josh Allen with 3 minutes and 33 seconds left, up only three, seems like a game you're going to lose. Seems like a drive the Bills are going to get down to the 30-yard line, run the clock out, have 4 shots in the end zone, and score a touchdown with 30 seconds left. It didn't happen. And I know Patrick Mahomes was really good in that game, but I feel like that's an underrated element of this whole Chiefs dynasty that we just don't give enough credit to, and that's their production on the defensive side of the ball and the defense's ability to show up in big moments. Last year in overtime, stopping the 49ers, getting the ball back in Patrick Mahomes' hands, nobody talks about it. And I think time and time again, this Chiefs defense has shown up for the offense when it needs it most, and it's been a massive reason why we're now looking at a potential NFL dynasty and a first-of-a-kind three-peat. So I'm going to take the Chiefs. I think, like I said, they're very well-rounded. They're more well-rounded than we like to talk about. And in big times, when it matters most, that's the team I trust because I think championship DNA is very cliche, but it feels like the right thing to look at in this point.
They won 17 games, I think, all season long? Yeah, they won 17 games? They won 17 games for a reason, right? So, like, you know what I mean? There's a reason why they're there. And I wouldn't go as far to say that I'm picking Philadelphia because I'm not discrediting how good the Chiefs are. I will say this. It's so close that if KC had like 14 wins or like 13 total wins, I'd probably pick them. Because like when you win that many games, like you know what I mean, you're bound to just like slip
I get
up.
That because they've won, I think they've won their last 16 one-score games. They just haven't lost a one-score game. They're like bulletproof. And eventually you got to think that bullet's going to hit you and it's going to leave a mark. But until I see it happen, I feel like a lot of people were like this during the Brady years, and I probably would have been if I just didn't grow up a Dolphins fan and didn't like the Patriots. You just continue to roll with that team until you see otherwise. But I agree because they've had so many close calls. Like eventually this whole thing is going to come crumbling down.
The bullet may hit you, but it depends. Maybe you got the Tuco Salamanca bulletproof vest that you got there, and it's just bulletproof, right? You know what I mean? Maybe Mahomes is in some alternate universe getting bulletproof vests from the back of the truck down in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
If you want to make Breaking Bad references, I think Sunday night Patrick Mahomes is going to open up his flip phone. He's going to call his wife Brittany and he's going to say, "I won," and he's going to close it.
That's because a great one, Buck.
Maybe he has become Walter White.
Maybe, yeah.
He was this kind of goofy kid, uber talented when he came into the league, kind of like Walter was, and he's just transformed into a villain that everyone has grown to hate. And you know what? He's building one of the biggest empires the NFL has ever seen. So love the Breaking Bad reference there. I think that's it. Our Super Bowl picks. You've somehow turned into someone who thinks the Eagles are going to win. Listen, I get it. I feel like trying to think if this is the least confident I've been in the Chiefs in any of their Super Bowls. Last year, I thought San Fran had a really good chance because they were such a good team. 2 years ago, I did not believe in the Eagles, and they were actually favorites in that game. I thought the Chiefs were going to win that one. it'll be a good game. I think we've gotten very lucky where we're on a heater of great Super Bowls right now. I hope that continues. Quickly before we wrap up, go-to Super Bowl meal dish and what you're doing for the Super Bowl.
Well, you know, every year we get together, me and my close buddies, and we just sort of pig out, do a potluck, and we watch some good games. Usually I'm the one to host. This year I'm not, so I don't have to clean up too much after, or that's not on my plate. But what will be on my plate is a lovely mac and cheese. I know you make mac and cheese as well. Too. I love it. I love making it every year. And it's probably some pulled pork, some wings, just a whole lot of garbage that's going to require me to go to the gym Monday morning and probably sit in the sauna for about 2.5 hours and just sweat out everything.
That sounds awful when you really visualize that. Yeah, I'm big into the Super Bowl hosting. Every year we have way too much food, and then we say, okay, next year we're not going to do this. Next year we're not gonna. And then by the time the next year rolls around, I always forget what I said was too much. So we also end up having the same amount of food again.
We got leftovers for the week.
That's the best part. But last year I was sending people home with stuff. People were bringing stuff. They went on, things went untouched. Cause we had too much. Okay, just take this back home. Just like, no one's going to eat it here. There's not enough people in this house. So yeah, it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. And then I think the next, maybe not the next morning, because there's still so much buzz about the game, but like the Tuesday morning when you're like, damn, no football until September, that's when it really kicks in. But we got free agency, we got the draft, we got so many things to keep this show going. But there it is. That's our Super Bowl preview. We thank you for tuning in. We thank you for the support all season long. It's been such a fun season doing these shows every single week. And we will see you Monday morning when a new champion, or maybe a repeat champion, is crowned.
See you guys.